Hello, everybody, and welcome into the BALA podcast, your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, and news from around the association. I'm your host and Lakers guy, Austin Sexton, recording here at home today. We're all dogging it. No headphones, no AirPods, just kind of straight shooting it. Got home and the AirPods were dead, and I don't have my mic set up. So we're going to see how this one turns out. But joining me tonight are the usual suspects, the Warriors guys. It's Roman and Casey. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Good.
I'm sure you are after that win tonight. Oh, man. So since it's the BALA podcast, it was only right for us to go into this with the Warriors and the Lakers playing. And the Warriors defeated the Lakers 111-97 in Vegas. Sure, it's preseason, but I think we got some good looks at like schemes that both coaches are going to be running, rotations. At least from the Lakers side of things, J.J. Redick wanted to implement a nine-man rotation, and we saw who our starters were, which is typically Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves, who was on a minute restriction with an ankle issue, ankle soreness, and said D'Angelo Russell, right? Yeah, D'Lo, AR, yeah. And then on the backside of the rotation, we had Max Christie, we had Gabe Vincent, we had Jackson Hayes, who were rotating the first quarter, and then our fourth man, because Jared Vanderbilt is injured, we had Dalton Connect. So that's how things kind of looked from the Lakers' perspective. How was rotations and everything on your guys' end for the Warriors side of things?
Yeah, the Warriors started big tonight. Starting lineup consisted of Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, Draymond Green, Trayce Jackson-Davis. Actually, the first time we've seen Andrew Wiggins this preseason. He's been sick since I believe since they were in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see him back on the floor. But, yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of different rotations, a lot of different combos we saw. And overall, I mean, this preseason, not much to complain about from the Warriors side of things. They're 5-0.
Yeah, 5-0, you guys are absolutely killing it.
It is preseason, so got to take everything with, a grain of salt. You know, things are trending the right way and you're seeing things that you would want to see from your team in the preseason.
Oh yeah. Roman, how do you feel about the lineup for tonight? Do you think that's something that Kerr might consistently stick with?
I think it is. And I think it's because of the size that they want to transition into with their second unit, which is they're going to be bringing in Looney, Kyle Anderson, and that's going to be their 4 and 5 probably, right? Along with whatever guard combination they want to make up at the time, because, you know, Warriors have a laundry list of guards that they need to kind of find time for, as well as wings, but it's not always a bad issue to have.
Tonight it looked like it was Buddy Hield and GB2.
Yeah. Buddy, man, that guy can shoot. And I mean, that's something that we've always kind of known about Buddy. But yeah, I kind of liked that second unit. It seemed to give a lot of spacing for, I mean, GP2 to kind of operate as he normally should. Although he is getting his own looks at the three, which is nice. And that's something that I kind of noticed overall in the game, is that the Warriors were just kind of finding opportunities for everyone to get a couple shots up from the three. And I mean, maybe it's just because Klay Thompson's not around that there's more opportunities, but I don't know if that's going to be a consistent thing throughout the regular season, so it's something to keep a tab on.
Well, as you were saying before, Casey, Wiggins returning to the court, how'd you guys feel like he played tonight? I mean, from an outsider's perspective, because I don't see the Warriors that much, he looked good to me. I mean, like, I think he's 100% a starter. I think you roll with him. I think defensively he looked good. I think his shot looked okay. I think he could have had a better offensive output. But overall, he seems like the piece that you for sure need and you're good to have for this season. I feel confident.
Yeah. Put it really well right there. Defensively, I thought he looked really good. He looked like himself. And then offensively, there was a bit more to be desired, but that's okay. Like, it's his first game back in a long time and it's the preseason. So, you know, just got to keep working. And I don't know. I think Wiggins is going to have a bounce back year. And yeah, I think he's probably a lock to start, at least beginning of the season.
You know, getting to watch the Warriors tonight, I was surprised at how good of an offensive rebounder that TJD is. I was very, very surprised. Like, I don't know if it's just because the Lakers have struggles rebounding the ball, but it felt like every time I watched Anthony Davis go up against TJD, I feel like TJD would always get the ball. I mean, AD had a great offensive game, and he's a great defender regardless, but the Lakers always have issues kind of rebounding here and there. But damn, I was surprised because it looked like TJD was like smaller than AD. I mean, like obviously AD's a big guy, but it felt like he was shorter than him too. So maybe it was just him out hustling, but I was very, very surprised. Yeah. I put that in the group chat too. I was like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah. He is a good player for sure. And in my opinion, I think he should be the starting center.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had 10 rebounds tonight. And if you get 10 rebounds from anybody on your team, I think that's a good night.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you're matched up against a guy like Anthony Davis who can, like, you know, inhale rebounds.
Yeah.
So I thought TJD did a good job today. And, yeah, he didn't really score much. But, like, with the – I don't know, like – there's a lot of scoring on this team right now.
Yeah.
And so I don't think we need TJD to be that like double figure scoring. And if you do get that from him, I think that's a huge bonus.
Oh yeah.
And I think he's capable of it. Like we've seen glimpses of it last season of him just going nuclear.
Oh yeah.
Taking over games at times. But yeah, there's a lot of scoring on this team. Like there was multiple guys in double figures, which is kind of a relief because I feel like in years past it's been like a few guys just carrying the load on their shoulders.
Yeah. It's a relief to see for sure the Warriors having so many more options to score. Cause yeah, it's yeah. As Casey just said, like it's been just Steph and Clay. Please get us out of this double digit deficit we're in somehow. And there's been a lot of games where they're able to manage that. But I mean, as we saw last year, I mean, age, injuries, and I don't know, the speed that the NBA is playing at right now on both ends, like it just kind of catches up to people.
Yeah.
I think the Warriors have gotten a lot faster, a lot more fluid with their offense overall. It seems like people are just getting more engaged. And there's just more opportunities. And it looks great so far. But I mean, to the point about TJD and rebounding against the Lakers tonight, from my perspective, it seemed like the Lakers just were a little lethargic on that end. It seemed like they were just getting out hustled and kind of just pushed out. And yeah, TJD is a good rebounder, but I feel like the Lakers could have done so much better this game if there was just like a little bit more of effort put forward. Cause yeah, it just seemed like they were getting bullied every time.
That's a little tough. Cause especially the last 2 years, ever since we made the Western Conference Finals, I think the start of like when we made that big trade for Vando and D'Lo and everybody, and we made it there, I feel like they have this idea that they have the switch. They can just turn it on whenever. And we had to do it last year. You know, it's like, we played great for the beginning of the season. I think we were the 4 or 3 seed in the Western Conference until we get to the in-season tournament. Win the in-season tournament, then take a shit and just go terrible for about maybe 15, 20 games. And in that span, we went from the 4 seed down to the 10, right? Yeah. Which was ridiculous. And then we have to build ourselves back up. So I'm praying and hoping that JJ Redick can get our guys out of the idea of the switch. Because we need to see consistency. We need to see an identity. And I will say, I think I texted the group the very first offensive set that we had. We were just moving the ball. Like the first half, I thought we moved the ball amazingly. I mean, just based off of Darvin Ham just having us run ISO ball and like maybe every, you know, third or fourth play down, we're running a set, get a score. But JJ, I mean, if we're trying to set up an identity, I feel like we're starting to turn into a team that shoots 40 plus threes a game. we need to get our percentage up a little bit higher. And obviously, like, that's going to come with Austin Reaves having a little bit more confidence in his shot. I mean, he's a competent guy, but just like getting into the swing of things again. LeBron getting his shot, not jacking stuff off the dribble. He's more of a catch and shoot guy, not a off the dribble three guy. And Anthony Davis too. Like, if we can get Anthony Davis taking 3 to 4 threes a game and making 1-2 of them, if we can get Anthony Davis to league average, what, 33%? Yeah. Makes it respectable.
I feel like he hit some bombs tonight too.
Oh yeah. I mean, we can go ahead and pull up the banner. 80 had a monster night.
He did.
That guy's good.
He was a man on a mission tonight.
Yeah, I was very, very – I feel like, once again, I was watching the game with the sound off. But I feel like every time I watched Anthony Davis, it's just getting the ball on the elbow, getting the ball in the corner, back to the basket, two dribble, spin move, fade.
Yeah.
Every single time. It was 10-14 tonight. Yeah, let's pull up that box score.
Yeah, he was just comfortable every time he had the ball in his hands. It just looked like he was just kind of just doing his normal business as usual stuff. And yeah, like he was just dominant on that end. It's impressive to watch.
Yeah. One thing I know I was talking about earlier tonight too is especially in our chat, D'Angelo Russell just seemed to be a non-factor tonight. And I'm somebody, I mean, we've seen it, like you've heard me talk about it on the show before, like I'm a believer in D'Lo, and you know, he started getting it cooking in the beginning of the third, but tonight you really see his defensive deficiencies on full display. It's like he can't keep people in front of him, and if he's not making baskets to offset his defensive deficiencies,
right? It's like what are we doing?
Yeah, Max Christie comes in and he's going to be, you know, guarding the first or second best player. I mean, tonight Austin Reaves, even though he's dealing with an ankle injury, it's like kind of looking at what we had to deal with. It's either Austin Reaves, who's supposed to be guarding the best player because Jared Vanderbilt isn't available at this particular moment. However, he should be another status update is that he should be available for the beginning of the season or within the first week or two, which we're very happy about. But yeah, until Vando comes back, it's Austin. And then our second best defender will be Max. And he's our sixth man as of right now, based off of the rotations that we've been saying. So, and Austin was getting cooked by Curry. I mean, Curry was having a field day. Did you see when D'Lo hit the back-to-back threes and then hit the shimmy? And then
He hit his own shimmy back.
I was like, bro, don't do that. Don't do that. You're just going to give Curry a reason to go off.
And he did. Then he hit a three like right after that and just hit like a cute shimmy.
Yeah. It was the Tourette's shimmy. It was
insane. Yeah.
It was so over the top.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think the Lakers had their fair looks at shots tonight. I think they're feeling a little bit sluggish still, but I think that once we get into the regular season, we're going to be, you know, a little bit more pep in the step. And I'm a believer in the offense. I think JJ's got things going in the right direction. So, but as far as the Warriors go, what's new with the offense, guys? From your perspective, from what you've seen over the years till tonight, like what's new? What's different?
What's new and different? Well, Kyle Anderson was taking the ball up for one of the lineups for a big stretch. Meanwhile, they had Gary Payton on the court too with Buddy Hield, and I was like, okay, so you know Kyle Anderson's going to be that guy for them right now. It's like, sure, whatever, Kerr. You've got an idea. You've got a plan. So that was new and interesting. I'd say
Buddy Hield with GP2.
Gary Payton. Yeah.
GP2, Buddy Hield, and Kyle Anderson with Kyle taking the ball up.
Yeah, and I feel like Moody and Looney were part of that group too.
Yeah.
It was kind of just it was kind of a situation that I was
Kyle Anderson point wing.
I guess. I mean, like he didn't turn the ball over too much.
He's been great. So like his tenure in the Warriors uniform so far has been nothing short of great.
I mean, he's
a solid, consistent player. Like, you know what you're going to get.
It's crazy. Yeah. And it's like, I've watched him play a bunch, like when he's played for San Antonio,
for
Memphis, like, you know, on opposing teams, but seeing him like, you know, like now I'm watching him more.
Yeah.
and I'm like, wow, this guy, like, he plays his game.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get, you know, no one can speed him up.
Yeah, I mean, if Kyle Anderson, if Kyle Anderson was a brand, he would be Kirkland. You know, like, he's just reliable.
It's great.
You know, like, you know what you're going to get. Not over the top, but it's not bad.
It's not bad, it's not bad at all.
Yeah.
It's just what you need. It's just what you need.
It's just what you need. Yeah.
Kyle Anderson.
Yeah. I kind of what I brought up earlier was that I feel like the Warriors are just like getting the ball to more people and allowing the offense to just be more open for everyone. Everyone's getting an opportunity. Everyone's getting looks. And yeah, I mean, everyone's getting a chance to take threes. Moody had a hell of a game.
More Moody minutes.
We're here. We're representing. We need more Moody minutes.
You look good.
I don't know how they keep him out of the rotation. I don't know how they just don't give him at the very least 20 minutes. Like, he played 19, scores 21.
He had like 30 plus last game. I think game before that too, he also had 30. Like, he is on an absolute tear right now. He's in the rotation. I know
we're gonna see less of Lindy Waters. We're not gonna see Reese Beekman, Guy Santos. We're not gonna see much of. And those are, you know, little sprinkles of extra minutes that I feel like Moody can kind of get a little bit more of that. But
so in your rotation, Moody's like the nine man. Like, he's number nine. Like, he's the ninth man in the nine man rotation.
Yeah, because what they've usually been doing is bringing in Buddy with Kyle Anderson, and then GP2 with Looney, and then Moody kind of gets fit into one of those rotations as they're bringing people in.
And there was no Shake Milton tonight.
Yeah, no, D'Anthony Melton didn't play tonight, as well as Podzemski didn't play because he has a broken nose.
Broke his nose.
Yeah. Apparently he had some weird like contact with TJD in their previous game against Detroit, and I didn't even know that had happened.
Yeah.
From that game, that was news to me today. So
it's crazy. Yeah. Like, once again, being somebody who's just watching from the outside on the Warrior stuff, and like, we just played each other tonight, so I got to see it. I completely forgot D'Anthony Melton and Pods. So.
Two more guards.
Yeah, two more guards. It's blowing my mind. It's like, and Kyle Anderson, and Buddy, and Moses.
Yeah.
A lot of guys that have, they're all playing well too. It's like, it's going to be hard to figure out these rotations. And I don't know. I'm assuming Kirsch is probably going to ride the hot hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like the expectation is that Kuminga is going to be getting guaranteed heavy minutes.
I'm assuming he's a starter, right? I mean, based off of.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the expectation right now. But again, it's like, how do you manage all the minutes for everyone? And kind of what Casey's saying is like riding the hot hand. I feel like we aren't going to see a lot of consistency with lineups and rotations. I think it's going to be up to the coaching staff to be looking at the game in the live and being like, how can we best manage our roster right now? Like, how are we going to get the best lineup on the court right now to take advantage of the situation that we're in? So it's going to be a big year for the coaching staff to navigate all that, because it is been very clear through five games that there was a lot of talent, and you just have to pull the right strings at the right times to get the right players on the court and maximize this roster, because this is a good roster. It's good. It has upside, but it just needs to be handled well.
Do you feel better now seeing the players in action based, like, versus when you just saw everybody on paper?
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. I was so worried about Kyle Anderson personally, but
yeah, I was pretty pessimistic. Like, after they missed on getting Markkanen, and then But they ended up signing Buddy Hield and signing Kyle Anderson, and that kind of just felt like, well, they had to sign somebody.
Right.
But seeing it all like in motion and watching, you know, like five games, the preseason ball.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like I like everybody on this team. Like,
yeah.
Heck yeah. More on the Lakers side of things. One thing that I am pretty impressed with, I'm excited to kind of see where it's going to go. Don Connect. Is he connecting the dots? Shout out. Was that you, Roman?
That was me.
That was you. Yeah, so I think when we saw Dalton come in the second quarter, him playing with the other rotational guys, I think he's still trying to figure out his footing. I think he shot 1-for-4 in that stint when he was with those guys. But then at the back half, when he was playing with the rest of the G Leaguers, Bronny James and all those guys, it seemed like he was, you know, a man possessed, just way more confidence, knew that he was the leader on the court. You know what I'm saying? So I think the jump shot looks good. I think that when Dalton really gets himself like engraved into what the Lakers motions, offense and everything is, and I know we're drawing a place for him, but like once he really gets his confidence, I'm excited to see the kind of potential that he has. I think that he is still a little bit iffy on the defensive side of the ball. You can see he's still a little bit heavy footed, especially going side to side, like up and down. It's not actually keeping somebody in front of him. They get over to his right or left shoulder, just breeze by him. And then he's either going to draw contact for the foul and the player gets an and one. It's a little tricky there, but let's look at the score here. He ended up 6-for-15. He was 5-for-13 from threes. Shot 13 threes. That's good. I mean, for a rookie?
Hell yeah.
You got to be happy with that, you know?
Yeah.
Especially, the Lakers need shooting, and he is a shooter.
Yeah. Now, he looks good. I think, like, once he gets into, like, a midseason form, has some more time with the vets, builds up his confidence, I'm excited to see where that's going to go. And then our other rookie, the crowd went crazy for Bronny James. So I actually caught a little bit of the audio right as we started talking about Bronny getting in the game and whatnot. And I just heard everyone going, Bronny, Bronny. So for anybody that's watching this, and Brock's not in here right now, but I bet Brock $5 that Bronny was going to get 6 points tonight. As soon as he came in, I was like, yo, this dude, like, he's due.
There was time on the clock too.
Oh my God. First shot went up. I was like, there's no way it's not cash. Brick the three. Second shot, brick the three. And then when he scored the first, when he drove in and got the first two, I was like, all dude's got to do is just make a three. Just make one three and we're even. And I think he had two more looks at it and just didn't score. Can you pull up the Laker box score again?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Bronny has not hit an outside jumper this entire preseason.
He has not.
0-for-3.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, Bronny. 1-for-5, 0-for-3 from three. Yeah, that's tough.
It's very reminiscent of Summer League.
Towards the end of Summer League, though, he started going off.
He got better.
Yeah, his last two games.
So maybe the preseason is the same way.
I mean, he's got two more games. We have a back-to-back. I mean, we play you guys the very last game, and we play the Suns.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm assuming we'll probably play our players against the Suns. And then when we play you guys again, because we've already played you guys, we'll probably sit all of our starters. It's so dumb that we're doing a back-to-back during preseason. It's like, who does that?
Yeah, and the Lakers went to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
It's like
the old Darvin scam.
Darvin hands in his pockets.
Oh my gosh. Have you seen all the memes that have been going around?
Oh, which ones?
Him and Doc Rivers sitting next to each other like this.
The back to back almost.
Yeah, you just see the Dumb and Dumber. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. JJ Redick just looks a lot more engaged with the game that he's coaching a team for. Like, he seems very present and active in, like, when there's substitutions happening, when there's a timeout. Like, he seems very much more like a part of the whole thing, where like I feel like I didn't always see that with Darvin Ham, but
no.
Yeah,
watching the game.
Yeah, he was just sat there with his hands in his pockets, just a spectator, just on the.
I was literally just watching the game. Like Joe would forget to call a timeout because he's just sitting there as a fan, like, oh, crazy. Like bro, get paid like $10 million a year to just fucking watch basketball.
It's fucking sick.
Didn't have a seat apparently. He's just stood there watching it.
And then Jeannie Bless and the Lakers organization, like whenever we didn't make trades, whenever we didn't make moves, they'd be like, "Yeah, like the key addition to our offseason was like adding Darvin Ham," and it's like. And then at the beginning of last year, we could have traded Russ. And gotten Buddy Hield and Miles Turner as a package, and we didn't do it.
That's,
yeah. It's a little tough. But you know what? It's known via Shams that we are looking for a center on the market. Speaking of centers, that is something that I'm not going to create a banner for it. But one thing I would like to bring up is that I do like the look a lot when AD is playing the four. So when Jackson Hayes is in that lineup.
Oh, yeah.
And AD and Jax are playing side to side.
That was working for them.
Yeah, it works for them so well. So, so well. It like genuinely makes me like, we got to find somebody.
Yeah, Jackson Hayes, he's super athletic too. Like he was giving the Warriors trouble. Like they throw that lob like 50 feet in the air and he'd come down with it.
Oh, yeah. And that works, but AD with Jax, yes, it works, but when AD goes off the floor and then you've got just Jax playing the five, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can only bring in Jax with AD if we don't have
another AD commands so much attention too that it's like I think Jackson gets kind of, you know, they kind of just lose track of him and they don't, you know, you don't realize like this guy's super athletic.
Yeah. Do you think the Warriors would ever run Looney and TJD together?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that would, I mean, they'd have to have Kyle Anderson in that lineup just for the full slow-mo feel.
Yeah, Kyle got a run point.
What would the Warriors' big man lineup look like?
So, yeah, it'd be those two, TJD and Looney.
Kyle Anderson. TJD at the four or Looney at the four?
Looney.
Yeah, let's put Looney at the four.
Yeah, Looney has to be at the four.
Because he's a three-point shooter now.
Oh well, yeah, he's got the green light for.
Okay, so TJD at the five.
Let's put in JK.
JK at the three. Where's Draymond? At
three. Oh no, Draymond at the three. JK at the two.
Kyle Anderson.
Kyle Anderson at the one.
Yeah. Oh my god. So
I need to see that now.
Yeah, I'm putting that in 2K. See how that goes.
So JK is your primary scorer in that situation?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Let it rip.
I think you could fuck around and do Curry, TJD, Looney, JK, and Moody.
Well, now that we got Moses Moody in the lineup, I think that's a winning lineup.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, he's just going to score everywhere. I just want to see Looney just sitting in the corner. That's really all I need to see. Just like one time this year, just like in the stance, ready to go, gets a shot. That's all I want to see this year.
I think we're going to see
one opportunity for that.
I think we might see it more than once. I'm going to say three.
Three times.
Three corner threes for Looney.
I love it.
Well, I can't wait.
I was watching Dwight. I don't know whose it was, but Dwight Howard was on Jeannie Buss's podcast. Or
the other way around.
Yeah, the other way around. And I was watching, I forget which there was like, there's like a Lakers podcast from somebody that I was watching, and they were pulling up all of Dwight Howard's corner threes throughout like the Lakers tenure, and like Dwight was not a bad three-point shooter for us. Whatever he shot him, I'm pretty sure Dwight Howard career for the Lakers is like 38%.
Yeah, I mean,
damn,
that's
crazy because it's like we see like NBA players, you know, like in action.
Yeah.
And when they're missing shots, it's like, how can you miss that? But then you watch them like work out or like watch like pregame and they don't miss a shot. It's like, these guys are so good at basketball.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, so like you leave like Dwight Howard or like, you know, like a non-traditional 3-point shooter wide open, there's a good chance they'll knock it down.
Yeah. It's shots that they've practiced for a long time, but
yeah,
you just need to be in the right spot for it to actually
right. Be made. There's a bunch of other variables that go into that shot going in, but they could definitely do it.
Could you beat Markelle Fultz in a game of pig?
No.
Could anybody here beat any NBA player in a game of pig?
Oh, dude, no. I'm 5'8 with Converse with like some insoles put in there. I'm not beating an NBA player in nothing, man. Couldn't do it.
I mean, you get the first shot. We're not even dotting the I. PIG. Could you give him a letter? How's that?
Yeah, probably. I could maybe manage a letter. Maybe. If I get the first shot and then like, yeah.
Right.
Okay, that's fair.
There's always a chance.
Really bad NBA shooter. Like, because whenever I think Markelle Fultz, like I think of the.
Oh, yeah, the bobble.
I think of the bobble. So like that's the first person that came up for me. I was just like, bet you I could. Ben Simmons?
Now we're talking.
Now we're in the ballpark of I can actually have a chance to win. Like, not that I will win, but like there's an actual reality.
The Ben Simmons slander is just ridiculous.
It's not slander if it's a fact. Like,
apparently he played today. Did anyone catch any of that?
Is there proof? Is there video evidence of him playing basketball?
I don't know.
I didn't see it. I don't know.
I haven't seen it yet. I saw like some ridiculous play of like, actually, I think it was, did we share it in a group? It was like Kyle Kuzma crossing up Ben Simmons and then proceeding to airball the shot.
I saw that.
That's crazy. That's some Kyle Kuzma ass shit. And that's some Ben Simmons ass shit. Like put them together. That's like the epitome of what you would think with those two.
My Kyle Kuzma,
a champion with the Lakers.
My Kyle Kuzma Lakers jersey does not like hearing about him airballing shots on Ben Simmons.
He was a good Laker though. I feel like
he was a good Laker.
I was so excited for him, man. That same draft with Tatum, I was like, no, man, Kuzma's gonna be so much better. Like Kuzma's the guy. Yeah. And then I watched more games like early on in that season. I was like, oh fuck, this is a choice. But we're here now.
Where's Kuzma in Utah?
I think
Kyle Kuzma went to the university. Let's Google it. I'm pretty sure I watched him in Utah.
Deep dive into Kyle Kuzma college career.
Kyle Kuzma lore.
Yeah. Kyle Kuzma lore corner at 11:17. Yep,
University of Utah.
Oh, geez.
Where's he from?
He's from Michigan, Flint, Michigan.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's always done a lot of like.
Michigan guy.
I remember he was doing stuff with the water.
Yeah.
That's good.
He's doing stuff to the water, in the water.
For the water, for the people.
Oh, okay.
We love that.
Kyle Kuzma gives back.
Good guy, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, like, other than like the dyed hair and him, you know, dating Winnie Harlow, I think he was a great Laker. I mean, Laker champion. He put up some crazy shots. Like his shot selection was always crazy, but like he had like swaggy P type shots. Like no business taking them, but they'd go in.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
The confidence.
Yeah. It was the confidence and the swagger to do it. You know, and then, but the thing is, like, I feel like, you know, Kyle Kuzma walked so that, you know, Austin Reeves could run, because now Austin Reeves is shooting all these crazy, ridiculous shots, green light all over the place. I think that Austin Reeves, I think 2 years ago, he was a little bit more efficient in his like playmaking ability, or I should say like after the shot creation, like after the foul, you know, like get the foul and get the and one. I feel like now it's not as good as it was like 2 years ago or even last season. Granted, it's preseason right now, but I feel like every time he goes up and gets that and one and he's awkward in the air, I feel like he always would make the contested jumper. And I just feel like I haven't seen that from him in a while. So
has he been playing that aggressively? Like, has he been looking for that type of contact in the drive?
Yeah, and... I mean, his free throw attempts are up
right now,
which we need him. Like if he could average maybe six more free throws a game, he'd be a 22 points per game kind of guy. 23 points per game. Because last year was 18. I think 18.7. So, yeah, I mean, him and D'Lo are like right around the same. So, and D'Lo doesn't really – like, D'Lo drives, but he doesn't really look for the contact. So, like, Austin Reeves is all about the contact. Austin Reeves tried to dunk on somebody. You know who else tried to dunk on somebody? Max Christie. I love it. You see what Curry tried to dunk on was it on D'Lo earlier?
It was a soft little lay-in right there, but
You saw everybody laughing too.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god! But I mean, overall, I think that like my takeaways from the game would be, I think the Warriors look a lot better than I expected them to, for sure. I could walk away saying that. I think the Lakers have some defensive struggles that they need to work out, but I think once they get that fixed. I.e. Jared. Once the Lakers also get healthy, I think once we have Christian Wood back and we have Jared Vanderbilt back, that's going to probably bump Dalton Connect out of the rotation. It'll probably, honestly, at that point, we're probably only going to see Gabe Vincent, and we'll probably only see Max Christie. And then it'll be Christian Wood and Jared Vanderbilt. And I think that'll be the 9-man rotation. And that'll give us defense. Jackson Hayes will be there from time to time as well. But I think we're going to see more Christian Wood this year because he's more of a 3-point offensive threat as well. And he's a pretty decent rebounder. So we'll see. I think if the Lakers get that together, who knows? I don't feel as good, I think, right now about the Lakers seeing them. But, I mean, I'm so used to the switch. You know, like we'll see. Game one, when it's actually the lights are shining bright, everybody's out there. So we'll see.
And that's the thing too. Like none of these games count. It's fun for us fans to watch and like to talk about, and you know we like to speculate. But yeah, the season hasn't started yet. But it's a nice little preview of like what the team's been working on and what teams need to be working on.
Yeah. Also, too, one of the last notes I have. Is I think that Bronny is only going to get his shot the very first game just to get out of the way, and I think that's it.
That might be the best case scenario.
I think that's best case scenario. Yeah. I am all fully like, I'm happy for Bronny, but go to the G League.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get more reps, get more comfortable.
Yep.
Because he's
to an NBA player, and
he's just
not need to be forced into the limelight.
He's just nervous, man. He's just nervous. Like, you could tell he's, like, shook up about it.
You know? I couldn't believe that, like, I think the Warriors, they had, like, Steph on the floor. And when Bronny checked in, I'm like, dude, they're going to put Bronny on Steph, and it's not going to be good. It didn't happen, but, like, I'm like, dude, like, this kid should not be in this situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that, too. I'm, like, I'm thinking to myself, like, could you imagine if, like, Bronny was on like Bobby Portis or Giannis. Could you imagine like Bronny gets switched onto Jokic?
LeBron's jumping off the bench.
Calling a timeout right then and there.
Oh my God.
That's my boy.
That's our ball.
That's our ball. Oh my God.
Oh boy.
Random question. Before I think we got everything. We're about 40 minutes in.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, there's just been all these Hall of Fame, like, you know, the Hall of Fame and everything that's been going on lately. Do you think that Lance Stevenson had a Hall of Fame career?
No.
I don't think he did either.
Yeah, no.
But his highlights are fucking nasty.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Smith Basketball Hall of Fame?
Yes.
No. Hall of Fame? Maybe.
Yeah. Like Street Cred Hall of Fame? Forever.
Yeah. Like the whole the Pacers, Lance Stevenson, you know, him playing LeBron Heat.
Yeah.
That was pretty like iconic, like him blowing in his ear. Like that was so crazy.
Yeah.
And then he had like the guitar celebration.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god. That meme where it's like one day it's gonna be like, Dad, did you ever see Lance play the air guitar? It's just like,
yeah. Oh, there's this one play I remember just popped in my head where he like tried to do some like Michael Jordan play where he like was palming the ball.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's so classic. Yeah, and he like dribbles to the baseline, spins, and his footing.
It's so bad.
He's just off balance with the ball off to the side.
Completely. And then who did he like step on his foot and it looked like the craziest crossover of all time? It was he had the fucking the ball patch in the back of his head. He goes by Uncle. He played with LeBron in Cleveland. Jeff Green.
Oh, Jeff Green.
Yeah. When he hit the craziest crossover on Jeff Green, but he actually stepped on his foot. Yeah.
Oh god.
And then he hit the that was nuts. I gotta put that in the group chat after this.
Yeah. Some good highlights.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
There's gotta be a compilation of like those
greatest hits.
Yeah, greatest hits.
Oh my god. Well yeah, man, I think that you guys should feel really good about the Warriors, Lakers fans. I think that we're gonna figure it out. And we always do. Worst comes to worst, we'll be a 10 seed. But I think this season has promise. I think this season has promise for both teams. So I think that Southern California and Northern California can have some things to look forward to for the rest of the season. So, but we're about 42 minutes in. I think we should call it here. Thank you guys for being a part of the show again. This has been episode 7 of the Bay LA podcast. We're going to try and get to you more next week. It's kind of a crazy week, but we want to keep this thing coming to you guys. So, make sure if you haven't yet, subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and make sure to give us a 5-star rating and review. Say some nice things, you know, because we're taking our time to try to keep you entertained on all things Lakers, Warriors, and news from around the association. Rock, if you're listening, I know it's probably like 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast right now, so I hope you're sleeping well, and we'll catch you next time. But for Austin and for Casey and Roman, we'll see you guys next time.
See ya. Peace out.
Take care.